Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
April is Distracted Driving Awareness Month. You're probably saying, good, I'm against, say, texting and driving. Most people are, but polls show many still do it anyway, and they don't even realize it. In 2006, Reggie Shaw was 19 when he killed two young fathers, rocket scientists Jim Forbaro and Keith Odell, who were driving to work together in Utah. Their story was told in an AT&T film directed by Werner Herzog and is still being told by Reggie, who spoke to us in 2012.
The thing that is the worst is that it's preventable. I could have shut my phone off. I could have set it to the side. I could have waited another 2 or 3 minutes until I was at work. It did not have to happen.
Yeah. Do you lay awake at night and try to roll it back? Do you ever, you know, try to rewind it?
Every day.
Yeah.
There's not a day that goes by that I don't regret this decision.
Yeah.
I don't wish I could go back and change what I did.
But Reggie didn't always feel that way. At first, he didn't remember texting. Then he denied it. But at a pretrial hearing over 2 years after the accident, a Dr. David Strayer took the stand to explain something called inattention blindness. And Reggie realized, I did it. Shortly after, he plea bargained and joined with those trying to prosecute him to fight texting and driving. New York Times reporter Matt Richtel won a Pulitzer for his reporting on this case. Then he went deeper with the book A Deadly Wandering, A Tale of Tragedy and Redemption in the Age of Attention. When we spoke in the fall, I asked him about inattention blindness.
The short answer is inattention blindness is when we feel as if we're attending to something, but because we're actually focused on something else, the source that we're intending to focus on gets lost altogether. And in this case, Reggie told himself he was focused on driving. He was, in effect, blind going down the road, 6:30 in the morning, in the dark, in freezing rain, and two lives were lost as a result.
Because as Dr. Strayer explained, when you text, there's the moment that you text, but this reaction to being involved in a text carries on for seconds after you've done the text. You could have both hands on the wheel, eyes on the road. Your mind, because our minds are slower than technology, your mind is still in the text.
I'm so glad you brought that up. It's I can give you a technical term. It's called switching costs. What it really means is that when you move from one thing to the next, it takes a moment to reorient. Now, you say to yourself, well, okay, that's just a millisecond or a few seconds or
15,
or
yeah.
15 when you come out of a text. But guess what? When you're driving a missile down the road and you have a tiny margin for error under some circumstances, every millisecond counts, and that becomes deadly.
Well, so there's this moment, again, chilling moment in this hearing when it's an aha moment for him, but he doesn't say anything at that point. Shortly after, he shows up in Utah at, I believe, the State House, and
yep.
A legislator is trying to pass a ban on texting. There's a public hearing. The legislator is having a hard time because this is Utah, very conservative, and people are saying that's a big government move to ban this relatively new thing, texting. And then, like in a movie, this skinny kid gets up. It's Reggie.
I'm laughing because you can't write this. For 2.5 years, this young man has carried grief and guilt inside him and has been unwilling, bolstered by his family, to admit what he's done. You know, there's no legal context. There's no laws on the books. Police can't prove what's happened. The prosecutors are unsure even to bring this up. And Reggie is a cauldron of guilt. He would write over and over again on pieces of paper to the families, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, but not deliver it to them because he was told by his lawyer that would be an admission of guilt.
Right.
And then the legislature brings up this bill that no one believes has any chance of passing. And the guy with the gavel says, would anybody else like to speak? And as you say, like right out of a movie, this young man gets up from the back and essentially says, you know those two rocket scientists you heard about? I'm the guy who killed them. And remarkably enough, Utah passes the toughest ban against texting and driving, at that time becoming the second state to do it after Washington. And David Strayer, the scientist who changed all of this, would later say they ought to call it Reggie's Law.
That's Matt Richtel. In his book, A Deadly Wandering, he tells the story of Reggie Shaw, who in 2006 killed two men while texting and driving. Matt also looks at the science of attention and how distracted we are by our devices. So Matt Richtel, pick up there.
The lure of the device, all those interruptions are a function of the deep, deep reward systems in the brain that the device is playing to. It plays to our dopamine systems, the very systems of neurochemicals that drugs play to. It plays to our need for social information. And that itch you feel to check your device all the time isn't necessarily about substance. It may in part be the sheer mechanics of having such an interactive device in your pocket.
You compare it to monkeys who sit in front of those little lever machines where if you push the lever, something might come out. Most of the time, nothing comes out, but they still push the lever.
The scientific principle here is called intermittent reinforcement. What it means is that if you don't know when the good stuff is going to come, you check your device all the time. And it goes all the way back to B.F. Skinner and his research with rats. There were rats in cages, and they would press a lever to get food, but never know which press of the lever would bring the food. And so they'd become conditioned to press it all the time. If you'll forgive the comparison to humans, we never know which of the presses on our device is going to bring the good email, the good text, the good information. So we become conditioned to press it all the time. You would think that if our devices delivered us lots of irrelevant or non-urgent information, we'd be conditioned to press it less. Perversely, based on what I've just said, we're conditioned to press it more. The more spam, the more magnetic. It's like a slot machine. I'm not prepared to call this an addiction. However, this is at least extremely habit-forming, has addictive properties, and is being discussed in conversations about addiction. It's just that we have to be careful to not apply a clinical definition when it may not apply to it yet.
Well, what else does apply to it? I mean, there are things that are uniquely true about texting as opposed to, let's say, alcohol. And for one thing, our brains, and Reggie seemed to illustrate this, our brains can't keep up with the technology. He didn't even really know what he was doing.
Yeah, if you'll permit an analogy, picture a cave person standing in front of a fire that they've tended or made, and they get a tap on the shoulder from behind. It's impossible that the cave person would ignore the tap because the cave person doesn't know if it's opportunity or threat, maybe someone with a spear. When you're in the car and the phone rings, it's a proverbial tap on the shoulder from anyone anywhere in the world. Here's what's happening inside your brain at that moment. The part of the cave person tending to the fire is the prefrontal cortex of the brain. It dictates how we focus, how we attend to the world. It's responsible for art, architecture, civilization. But when the tap comes on the shoulder from behind or there's a roar of a lion, basically a signal gets sent from much more primitive parts of the brain that say, lion, pay attention, run or die. When the phone goes off in the car, it's a very similar mechanism, a very similar signal, and it can overtake those high-level attention systems. It is a veritable hijacking.
What about Reggie? Part of what we see happening is that once he has the aha moment and realizes that he was blinded and didn't even realize he was texting, he became this evangelist.
Yeah.
You know, he's a young Mormon man, and he wanted so badly to go on a Mormon mission. It seems that this is his mission.
Yeah, think about it. Twice he got pulled back from missions, the second time to face negligent homicide charges. He was a wrecked person, and in many ways is still a wrecked person, but he has also become arguably the single most important voice opposing texting and driving, called a hero by no less than the Secretary of Transportation. He is out on the stump. Anytime anyone will ask him, on his knees, sobbing, asking, please don't become me. I've never seen a person so redemptive. No hyperbole here. I hope he's able to heal because he's given so much. And in a way, he offers us a way out ourselves because he was able to look himself in the mirror. Maybe he offers us a guiding light out as well.
Matt Richtel, his book, A Deadly Wandering, is about texting and driving and distractions. We bring it to you as April is declared Distracted Driving Awareness Month. For more, including an excerpt from the book and our original 2012 interview with Reggie Shaw, go to hereandnow.org. You can share it with a loved one.